We have now come to that time of our service where we remember the great and loving sacrifice of our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, with the recognition and the taking of the Lord's Supper. The bread, which represents the body, and the fruit of the vine, which represents the shed blood on the cross. When we go to Scripture and look in the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 19 to 20, it reads, "And he took the bread, and gave thanks and broke it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Scriptures also tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, that as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are to examine ourselves to be worthy. When partaking of this communion, we are proclaiming his death till he comes. At this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our kind and gracious Father in heaven, we come to you this morning thanking you ever so much for your son, Jesus, who died on that cruel cross at Calvary for the remission of sin. Father, we humbly ask that you will bless the bread and all who wish to partake of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us give thanks for the cup. Dear Lord in heaven, we humbly bow to you again, thanking you for your son, Jesus, and his shed blood on the cross, the blood that saves. Father, we ask that you bless the cup which represents that blood. And Father, we humbly ask that you bless this service of remembrance unto thee, that it is decent and in order, and well-pleasing in thy sight. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Thank you. Scripture this morning will be from Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 through 6. Genesis 26, verse 1 through 6. There was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, again for this day and for thy blessings. As we open up your word, we pray that our minds are ready to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Continue to watch over us, lead us, guide us, and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our subject this morning is the battle before the breakthrough. What is a breakthrough? A military movement or advance all the way through and beyond an enemy's frontline defense. It's an act or instant of removing or surpassing an obstruction or restriction. It's the overcoming of a stalemate. The Bible tells you and I in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The challenge for you and I is to weather the storm before the breakthrough. The challenge for you and I is to know that every mountaintop of victory will have a valley of the shadow of death. The challenge for you and I is to know that in between victories are struggles. The challenge for you and I is to know that in between breakthroughs are battles, and before every new breakthrough, there is a harder battle than we have ever fought. Why? Because battles indicates breakthrough. So if you are in a battle right now, that is a good sign. That just means that your breakthrough is right around the corner. In between the victories, there are attacks. In between the breakthroughs, there are battles. There could be no triumph without being tried. There could be no testimony without the test. There could be no victory without a battle. There could be no resurrection without the crucifixion. Our greatest battles come right before our greatest breakthrough. The darkest time is right before the dawn. The battle usually rages at its highest right before the victory. So if you and I don't turn back, we will inherit new territory. The enemy will fight us harder than ever before because he knows that you are closer to victory than ever. Don't give up. Be patient. Your breakthrough is coming. And I think it's important for you and I to know that strength is not born by seeing miracles. We get strength by going through the struggles. The strength that you and I need in order to get into our promise is in the struggle. And unfortunately, in the struggle is where most people give up. But I have some good news for someone listening this morning. The Bible says if you and I don't give up, we will reap a harvest. In other words, if we don't give up in the midst of the struggle, we'll get what God has for us. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 and 36, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. God wants to take you and I from strength to strength, victory to victory, glory to glory. And it's all about what we do in between that determines where we go. It is the job of the enemy to discourage you and I in between the victory to victory, in between the glory to glory, in between the strength to strength. And this morning we may feel things are breaking up, but I'm here to tell you that things are breaking through. Because the Bible says weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning, Psalms 30 and verse 5. It is the job of the enemy to get us to surrender during the weeping of the night so we'll never experience the joy of the morning. So as we look in our text this morning, in Genesis chapter 26, we find a man by the name of Isaac. Isaac is the son of Abraham and Sarah. Isaac means laughter, because Sarah laughed at the idea of having a child in old age. Isaac is born and grows up, but Sarah dies, and later Abraham. Ishmael has settled in the wilderness. By then, Isaac is married. He is the carrier of the blessing and begins to feel the weight of responsibility. Then a famine confronts him, and he chooses to flee to Egypt like his father did in Genesis chapter 12, but God says no. He settles in Gerar, in Philistine territory, the land God promised Abraham and descendants. So in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 1, we see the land was Isaac's inheritance, but also was a barren land. He entered into a land that had famine, but at the same time, this land was promised to him as an inheritance. Wouldn't that be something? You are all excited to inherit the land that has been promised to you, but when you get there, it is barren. In Genesis 26 and verse 2, God promises to guide Isaac to the place he should dwell. God told Isaac, don't go anywhere. I want you to stay right here because I'm going to bless you in this land. So in chapter 26 of verse 6 of Genesis, we see that Isaac stayed in the land that was named Gerar. Isaac sowed and harvested a bumper crop in Genesis 26, verse 12 through 14. And he became very prosperous and fruitful. What happened is, as Isaac began to plant and be fruitful, the Philistines didn't like that too much, so they began to come against him. The Philistines didn't like Isaac, so they began to bury the wells that was dug by Isaac's father, Abraham, in verse 15. So in order for Isaac to break through to another level of fruitfulness and blessings, he had to contend with the Philistines. So I want to suggest to you some things this morning. To be blessed, you got to keep on digging the well. When we look at Genesis 26 and verse number 20, we find that the first well was called Ezek, which means the well of contention. If we're going to be blessed in our walk with God, we have to contend with the enemy. It is the place of early struggles in our lives, where every day seems a battle. Living for God seems sometimes discouraging. But the news is, God doesn't want us to stay at Ezek in the middle of the battle. God moves us on, so we open a new well. In verse 21, we find Sitnah. This is the well of opposition, place of enmity between us and the world. The world hates us. We're stepping out with God. away from comfort zones, moving to another level. Just like Ezek, there are struggles here. And here we declare war on the devil. You may have filled my wells before, but you will never fill them up again. And then there is Rehoboth. In verse 22, that's the well of room. The Lord has made room for us, enlarged us, made us fruitful. This is a well of maturity. Those who made it through struggles, those who don't understand our struggles, envy us. They think we are lucky. Instead of the enemy moving you, you move the enemy. You can't get here without Ezek and Sitna. Keep digging and believing. So what I get from this is that as Isaac continued to dig in spite of contention, in spite of opposition, as Isaac persevered through the oppositions and struggles of the Philistine, God eventually blessed him with some room to be fruitful in the land. And I suggest to you this morning is as long as you and I refuse to give up, God will take us to the next level of our inheritance. So when we come down to verse 23, we find Beersheba. It's the well of seven or sevenfold blessings. If I had a wish for your life, it would be that you drink from the well of Sheba. Isaac has made his share of mistakes, lost battles, and moved on. And we see that God used these conflicts and contentions to lead Isaac back to Beersheba, the place that God wanted him to be. But then also you need to realize, to be blessed, you got to keep on digging a well. But to be blessed, we must go where God tells us to go and do what he tells us to do. Follow Isaac. Geographically, he obeyed God's direction. You have to be where God told you to be to get what he promised you. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then we must give God the latitude to use whatever means he desires to get the blessings to us. When you look at Isaac, God used the famine and plugged wells to steer Isaac to his blessings. Your blessings may come through deception. It may come through sickness. It may come through disappointments or whatever, but let God choose the method. And then you understand that blessings comes with hard work. In Genesis 26 and verse 18, Isaac dug up the old wells. If he hadn't worked hard, he would have never found water in verse 19. God blesses hard work. Isaac knew where to dig and the wells his father had dug. And some are digging in the wrong places or not digging at all and can't understand why wells are dry. We keep finding dirt, but build something and God will bless it. Noah did in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being one of the things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Moved by faith, Noah did something. Faith moves people. Psalms 1 and verse 3, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God waits for you to act for him to bless. And many of us try to build a mess and want God to bless it. But then you need to finally expect adversity before blessings. Adversity is normal for Christians. We shouldn't desire trouble nor consider every problem an attack from Satan. Isaac was a man of God who did what God said by staying in the land despite of famine and was promised the blessings of God. But he was forced to move from his land by Abimelech. He left and faced more oppositions. The enemy came and plugged those wells, which were the sign of God's blessings. Receiving God's blessings doesn't mean easy life. You become a target for Satan, directly and indirectly. For Isaac, every step forward led to two steps backwards. Water was important. Despite the difficulties, Isaac did not throw down his shovel and quit. And so understand three things as I close. Number one, know that life can be unfair. People and circumstances can hurt you and steal from you what is rightfully yours. At that point, you will have a choice. You can look back at what has been lost, or you can look ahead in faith for what God is promising to provide. Secondly, sometimes we suffer loss in the promised land. It was in the promised land that he kept being ripped off. You can be a child of God and be blessed and be kind. It happened to Isaac by Laban. It happened to Manichaeah by Haman. But God knows how to deliver. Isaac suffered loss, and some of those losses you might never recover. But God will show you better options. And then number three, know that good things can come from adversity. We will face and respond to trials differently if only we recognize the good that God brings out of them. Did anything good come out of Isaac's adversity? Yes. Two good results of Isaac's adversity. Number one, trouble turned into blessings. Isaac started in the land of Gerar, outside the promised land. He was content to stay there, but adversity forced him to move toward Beersheba in the promised land. The promised land represents God's presence. Isaac moved closer to God because of the adversity. God used these troubles not to destroy Isaac, but to bring him into a deeper relationship with himself. But then secondly, others could see the wonderful way God was working through Isaac's adversity. The Philistine leaders watched Isaac and admitted he was special, for he had overcome and been blessed despite his problems. Our problems are often opportunities for others to see and glorify God. Isaac's blessings drive the neighbors to greed and envy, but ultimately it drives them back to Isaac. So the key for Isaac's breakthrough was perseverance through opposition and contention. I know we might not understand what is going on, but if we put our trust in God, he will turn everything around for his honor and his glory and get us to the place where he wants us to be. It may be a spiritual place. It may be a physical place. It may be a financial place, but God is able to work it out for his good if we press on. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Just push on, not looking back. We'll gain the land that God has promised us. If you're listening this morning and have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you heard the word, believe it to be true. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You got to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33, wine and water, grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, you receive a crown of life. The Lord will add you to his church, Acts 2:47. Then you got to live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death, Revelation 2:10, you receive a crown of life. If you want to know more about the Church of Christ, or if you have a prayer request, call us at 734-482-4922, or you can call the church building at 734-483-1864. We just, again, Thank you for listening. And this time we're going to have two more songs and a closing prayer.
Thank you. Dear Father, we thank you for this day and for looking over us and helping us during this stressful time in our lives. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and for this avenue of prayer that we have, that we can access you with our concerns, to seek your guidance, that we may pass through this difficult time and come out on the other side stronger. We ask, dear Father, that you be with the nation, be with the leaders around the world, be with the sick, those who are suffering, those who are terrified and fearful. Help us, dear Father, to overcome the adversity and the depression that accompanies such times as we're living through. Dear Father, as we have passed through this life, we encounter many things. But most of all, dear Father, we thank you for not only seeing us through, but for giving us a hope in heaven, and for this day bringing us together through the electronic media, that we may hear your word and that we may put this word to work in our lives, and that we may use this time wisely as we prepare for the future. We pray for this congregation, for the congregations of the around the world, dear Father, that we may not be fearful, but we'll be prudent and wise and be an example unto our communities. Guide us safely, dear Father, that we may return stronger than ever to do thy will. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.